1 o'clock hour, Chase William, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. We say hello to David Marinus, who joins us now, the author of Path Lit by Lightning, a biography of Jim Thorpe, which is currently number two on the New York Times bestsellers list right now. David, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm in Nashville with my Andrew and family, so I couldn't be better.
Well, very cool. I know you're doing a book tour today, and you'll be at Parnassus Books in Green Hills tonight at 6:30 as a part of this book tour. This is the 13th book that you've written, but why did you feel compelled to write a biography on the great Jim Thorpe?
You know, I have written 13 books, but I consider three of them sort of a trilogy of my sports biographies. The first being Vince Lombardi, the second Roberto Clemente, and now Thorpe. And in all three cases, there are sort of two things that I'm looking for. First of all, just a great dramatic story about a tremendous sports figure. But secondly, a way to use that story to illuminate larger issues about American history and sociology. So for Lombardi, it was not just about the great Packer coach, but also about leadership and the mythology of competition and success in American life and what it takes and what it costs. For Clemente, was not just this beautiful ball player, but also that rare athlete who actually was heroic. You know, so many are called heroes, and Clemente really was living out his life and dying, trying to deliver humanitarian aid to Nicaragua after an earthquake. And so now comes Jim Thorpe, who was, you know, one of the great all-around athletes of in world history, but also a chance for me to write about the Native American experience. He was from the Sac and Fox Nation in Oklahoma, and what he endured during his life sort of was emblematic of what American Indians have gone through.
So Path Lit by Lightning, again, is the name of the book, and we're talking to David Marinus, who is the author. You know, I think what's interesting in kind of reading about this is, you know, he's an Olympic gold medalist and everything he did as a two-sport athlete, but you talked about, you know, some of the things in his life and how he had a troubled life. What were some of the things that you kind of discovered as you were doing the research for this?
You know, he was more than a two-star athlete. He was a three- and four-star. I mean, he played Major League Baseball, professional football, All-American, and a track star. But you're right. He did struggle later in his life, as many former athletes do. He had difficulty with alcohol, but I would say that the largest critical moment of his life was when his gold medals were rescinded because he had played Bush League baseball in the Eastern Carolina League for two summers at a time when hundreds of college athletes were playing summer baseball, but most of them were doing it under aliases. Dwight Eisenhower played under the name Wilson in the Kansas State League. Jim Thorpe played under the name Jim Thorpe. And it was no secret what he was doing because so many other people were doing it. So, you know, why did he lose his amateur status and his gold medals? I think a lot of it had to do with racism.
Now, while writing this book, because this is a guy that, in Jim Thorpe, that excelled at just about everything he did in regards to sports. He even, you know, jumped into the coaching ring as well.
He was even a great ballroom dancer, Derek.
Exactly. So there was nothing he couldn't do.
Nope.
But why did he choose one sport over the other? It seems like, you know, people know him more so for his football prowess than anything else.
Well, he first played Major League Baseball because he could. You know, it was a bigger sport in that era than pro football. He went into pro football in 1915 with the Canton Bulldogs, and it was by far his best sport. I mean, he was a brilliant all-around football player in an era when the players played 60 minutes. You know, they played offense and defense. He was a great left halfback, but the College Football Award for the best defensive back is the Jim Thorpe Award because he also was a defensive back. Not only that, he was a great punter. You know, he routinely punted the ball 70 and 80 yards, and he was a great place kicker and drop kicker. He won many games with his foot, with field goals and drop kick field goals. So, you know, I think that the reason that he concentrated on football later is because he was just the best in the world at it.
Now, when we think of Jim Thorpe, and obviously the defensive back award is named after him, but then when we start naming great defensive backs, he never truly comes up in the picture in regards to, you know, this guy, it has a award named after him, but then once we start talking about defensive back, he never come up in the picture a lot of times.
You're right, but think about it. I mean, he played 110 years ago.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it was before television, you know. So, you know, nobody really got to – I mean, unless you were at the games, you never got to see him play. And, you know, there's no real video or film of him. So, you know, you can only go by – I can only go by all of the accounts that I found in the newspapers of that era, which were extensive. But I think that – that it just has to do with time more than anything else. I mean, you know, even Michael Jordan, you know, gets superseded by kids who, you know, he was before their time now, you know. So that happens to every athlete, but think about 110 years and you can understand why that's the case.
Now, was that sort of the difficulty in writing this book? Because when you have written about other athletes, it was more so you had video to sort of watch and people knew of these names. But when you go back to Jim Thorpe, you didn't have a lot of these things that you would have of these athletes nowadays, whether it's film, whether it's actual accounts of watching them play. So was that the difficult part about it?
Yes, partly. I mean, you know, the other books I could interview hundreds of people about, you know, the character I was writing about, whether it's Clemente or Lombardi. I couldn't do that with Thorpe. But I do a lot of archival research and find primary documents from the time. So I went to 22 archives around the country to research this book, ranging from the Avery Brundage Archive on the Olympics at the University of Illinois to the Carlisle Indian Industrial School, where Thorpe starred as a football and track star. And, you know, I could get enough information. It just had to do it in a slightly different way. And you're right, I couldn't watch film to do it, with one great exception. The International Olympic Committee hired a great documentarian to find all of the old newsreels of the 1912 Olympics and put them together into a sort of a silent film, but a really wonderful one that shows a lot of what happened at those Olympics in Stockholm. And even though I wasn't able to get to Stockholm because of COVID, I felt like I was there because of that documentary.
We're talking to David Meredith. He is the author of the book, Path Lit by Lightning. It is about the great Jim Thorpe. And just for context, for some people that are trying to place the name and remember everything about Jim Thorpe as we're going through it here, when ESPN did the Sports Century, and of course, this has now been 20-some-odd years ago here, but Jim Thorpe was number 7 in that documentary series that they did. And a lot of people thought he might have even been higher. You know, that was one of the things we debated at the time. But, David, I always remember the Carlisle Indian School. You know, when you read about Jim Thorpe as a kid, you're like, Carlisle, wait, it's not Notre Dame, it's not Alabama, all of these things. That Carlisle was beating all these teams, right? They were the best. But tell me about Carlisle. Tell me about Carlisle Indian School, because it's a unique situation, and the phrase, kill the Indian, save the man. What did that mean?
Well, the school was founded in 1879, only 3 years after the Battle of Little Bighorn, you know, Custer's last stand. And the first students were mostly Lakota Sioux from out there. And the effort was essentially to rid them of all of their Indianness, to take away their language, their religion, their culture, and acculturate and assimilate them into white society. That's what kill the Indian meant. And it was very dehumanizing. So by the time Thorpe got there in 1904 through 1912, you know, that system was thoroughly in place. Most of the young Native Americans who went there didn't like it. You know, they were running away all the time. Some adjusted and found it to be helpful. And, you know, of course, Thorpe himself rose to world fame because of that school, despite its dehumanizing aspects. Nobody would know of Jim Thorpe if he hadn't been an All-American football player there, beating West Point and Harvard and Penn and all of the big schools of football of that era. Were no longer, but they were the big names then. And Little Carlisle was always traveling on the road, and they would draw the biggest crowds and beat those big schools.
That is incredible. So this is a tough question to answer in a short period of time, and the book will shed a lot of light on this, but why do you think he struggled so much, given the fame that he had?
Well, first of all, I mean, money was very different then. You know, the most he made was $300 a game playing football. Compare that with the people today, you know, in all the sports, you know, $240 million for a baseball player. So he always was struggling with money. He did suffer from alcoholism. That was definitely a problem for him. So in some ways, the last 20 or 30 years of his life after his athletic fame were somewhat difficult, but he never gave up. He kept finding new jobs. You know, at one point he was digging ditches in Los Angeles. At another point he was on the fringes of the Hollywood studio system and acting as an extra in about 70 movies. At age 45 he played traveling baseball and still was pretty good with Harjo's Indians playing against all the great Negro League teams, you know, Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson. He just kept working at it. So in one sense, you could think of it as a tragedy, but I think of it more as an act of survival and perseverance.
Well, David, appreciate you so much for coming on today to talk about this, A Path Lit by Lightning. Number 2 on the New York Times bestseller list about Jim Thorpe. And again, tonight at 6:30 at Parnassus Books in Green Hills, you'll be there doing a speaking and doing a book signing. So very much appreciate it, and best of luck.
Sure. Not just doing that, but I'll be interviewed by my son, Andrew. So I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Awesome.
Okay, guys.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
David Marinus, the author of Path Lit by Lightning, A Bio of Jim Thorpe.
Man, that book is going to be really interesting because, like he said, you didn't have any film. You really don't have a lot of people that you can talk to that were actually living when he was – I mean, I don't think you had anybody to talk to that was actually living when he was playing. So that I can see that being one of the hardest, most difficult books for him to write.
Absolutely. And just think about Jim Thorpe. As Chase was pointing out there, Major League Baseball, mm-hmm. decathlon winner,
mm-hmm.
Pro Football Hall of Fame. So that's, you know, decathlon, you could argue, is more than
three
sport.
Right? Yeah,
that's more than one sport all wrapped up into one. But they used to say when I was growing up that the greatest athlete in the world was the decathlon champion, right? That's kind of what it was, because that's what that whole thing is designed to do, is who's the best all-around athlete, the 10 different events, the 10 different skills. Running for speed, running for distance, the javelin. So he's the best in the world at that. He's a Pro Football Hall of Fame and good enough to be Major League Baseball. But he's not revered in the same way as a Babe Ruth or some of the other people that are sort of from that era there. So I think anything that sheds light on his life and kind of brings to light just how great he was is a really good thing.
We'll have your opportunity to win Panic at the Disco tickets with our Titans trivia question, as we've done every day. So be sure to listen to that coming up at the bottom of the hour. But coming up next, we talked about this earlier, the progression of Ryan Tannehill by the numbers. We'll get back into that as you listen to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.